Hey, welcome.
Welcome.
I'm Steve Mitchell, if you don't know me. Most of you guys know me. Boy, it's been a busy summer. Have you guys found that the summer is just whipping through, going through? This morning I was looking at my truck mileage, and I put 1,500 miles on last week, and I never hardly even left the county. I mean, boy, I've been running around. But you know, one thing I always make sure is that I take time every week for God. And I'm thankful that you guys are here to take time with me, the time that I take with God. We need to do that because it says in the Ten Commandments, number 4 of our Ten Commandments says that we need to put the Sabbath as a time that we keep it holy. And we need to do that because life is so fast and moving now that we got to do it. And so thanks for doing it with me today. This is sort of like a Gideon Sunday. We'll be talking to you about the Gideons. So hey, one thing that we always do here is sing the church song, which is the Church in the Wildwood, and that's 367 in your hymnal. Stand if you want to. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this time that we've set aside so that we can come and thank you for what you've done for us, Lord. We ask you to make this a blessed time for us, a time that we can remember, Lord, this week while we're working. We thank you for this church, and we ask you to be with us while we're doing this service. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. I'm blessed down at the school to have someone there that's a Christian that helps me a lot through a lot of the problems that I have down there. And one of the wonderful things about Dory is that she's just not a Christian, but she's got some great talents. And one of them is she's a good singer, and she's got a wonderful way to worship. And she's the worship leader down to the Assembly of God, and the Living Waters Assembly of God down in Farmington, and I sort of, I hope I asked her, but I did, I think I asked her, but I told her to come and share her music with you. So at this time, this is Dory James, and she's going to share a song with you.
I'm going to do a combination of songs. And you can find In the Garden on page 428 in your hymnal. And I'm doing a combination of songs. I don't know about you, but I know that when I'm in my garden, and I love to garden, I'm out there gardening all the time, God speaks to me in the garden a lot. I learn a lot of lessons in there. He teaches me through my planting and my cultivating and all that. He teaches me. And so this is a song that's very near and dear to my heart. I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the sun of God discloses. And he walks with me, and he talks with me,
is
have you pick out what hymns that you would like to sing this morning or this afternoon.
Yeah.
Jesus loves you. And you will be able to think about it every day, at the end of the day, just before you go to sleep. Think of the greatness God gave you that day. There's always something. So, hey, prayer request. You got anybody out there that needs some prayer?
We have Old Home Days coming up in Phillip, so I'd like to pray that everything goes smooth and everybody's safe and enjoys themselves.
Yeah, good. Yeah, it is.
I want to give thanks for my three-month-old grandson visiting us and pray that he just continues to grow and be nourished and have a wonderful life.
Good.
I want to pray that each one of us here and, gosh, everybody all over, just be able to find some little piece of joy in every day.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
Buddy Bilbrick and Skip Pike are both recovering from surgeries. Please remember them in your prayers.
Okay.
They're both doing well, I think. But,
good. Okay, let's take those to the Lord. Heavenly Father, you've taught us that when we need or when we need to thank you, that we come to you, Lord. And today, this service, Lord, we're going to have an event in town, Phillips, that we have every year. And we ask you, Lord, to watch over it and make sure nothing happens, problems happen, Lord. We've had good years and we don't want anything to happen, Lord. And we thank you that we can have this. We ask you, Lord, about looking after this three-month-old grandson, I think. And thank you for that he's here and let him have fun and let it be a little remembrance of his time, Lord, here. And we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for all the good things that you give us, Lord. Especially for the two people that are in surgery, that has had surgery, Lord. We pray for them, Lord. We ask to look after them, Lord, and hope that they're touched, Lord, by you, and that they know that something there they need to be close to, Lord. We all, Lord, need you more of you every day, Lord. And let you be a torch to us so that when something happens, Lord, we know that it's you that's there, that's always watching over, Lord. Watch over this week while we go out there, Lord, and do our thing, Lord. Watch over us, Lord, and we love you so much, and we thank you. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Amen. Thank you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this offering, Lord. We know that it's not the money, it's the heart, Lord. We thank you that you give us and we're giving back to you, Lord. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
The scripture reading today is going to be given by my wonderful wife, Doris Mitchell.
The scripture today is Psalms 96, 1 through 6. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord, and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and glory are in his sanctuary. Amen.
Again, I go back to the garden. I think about the glory of God, and I think it's displayed everywhere. In all that we see, if you look at a flower and you see how intricately they were put together, there's the glory of the Lord right there, because he's a beautiful God. You look at the night sky and you see the stars and the Milky Way, and there's the glory of the Lord on display. So everywhere we go, he displays his glory, that he's just such an awesome God. I'm going to sing a little bit about his glory, and then on page 138, we're going to do the hymn Nothing But the Blood.
Heartbeat of my life is to worship thee.
You're going to take something home. This week you're gonna remember some of those words there. They're beautiful. Today we're gonna talk about the Gideons, and we have a speaker, Dean Olmstead. He's a member of the Farmington Gideon camp. He's actually the president of the Farmington Gideon camp. He's our leader and now a speaker, so he can go out into the churches and speak and tell you a little bit about it. But he's been a good friend of mine, and we're really on fire for the Lord, both of us. And the Gideons have helped us go out there and get Bibles out there, because there's a lot happening. And as you know, the Word has got some good stuff in there. So Dean Olmstead is going to tell you a little bit about the Gideons.
Thank you, Steve. All right. Okay. Here we go. I found your Bible. This was what was said to Todd Keough as he tells his testimony. He had received a Bible from a homeless man named Walter while he was working as a lifeguard on a beach back in California. Walter had received several New Testaments when he had gone to a revival and the Holy Spirit had moved in his heart, and he was saved. Two men had given him these Bibles. After Todd moved north, he had become a teacher at a Christian school and was involved in a local church as a youth pastor. And even though Todd appeared busy with the things of God, a slow lull had crept into his heart. And he was not growing in faith, and he did not feel close to God. He talked to a close friend about this, and he said, "Why don't you step out of your bounds a little bit?" And he suggested to Todd combine his passion with running and a commitment to grow with God. So he did. For 3.5 years, he ran through the hills 3 days a week studying scriptures in a New Testament, and he had a quiet spot under a tree up on a hill where he studied and he wrote words in the margins of personal prayers and revelations. Todd even wrote in the back to return it to Pastor Todd Keough in case he lost the New Testament. He buried this in some pens in a plastic bag under a tree. And God led Todd to move from his home now, where he was, to Sacramento. So Todd packed up his home and got his family ready and was getting ready to leave. And he said, "I'll make one more run up that hill and retrieve my Bible." Well, Todd made it to the top of the hill, and there, under the tree, was a freshly dug hole. His Bible was gone. So Todd was running in his new home, and he found a new quiet spot with another New Testament, but it wasn't quite the same. 10 years later, Todd received a phone call from a man named Hector. And he said, "Is this Pastor Todd Keough?" And Todd said, "Yes." He had the right number. And Hector said, "I found your Bible." And Todd replied, "I have mine right here." He said, "No, the little orange one." And Hector shared the journey of the New Testament. His father had received it from a cellmate in prison. And his cellmate read all the highlighted and written down things, and he witnessed to his father. And because of this, his father gave his life to Christ, and he started a Bible study in prison. Hundreds came to know Christ. Hector received the Bible from his dad, and he became a Christian. And he said, "I want you to know that you can have your testament back now. And I want to encourage you, God can use your words and his word even as much time has passed." Todd told him, "Keep it. I'm not ready to have it back yet. Maybe God will use it again in somebody else's life." And then Todd thanked Hector for calling. Well, 3 years later, Todd received another phone call. And then the question was asked, "Is this Pastor Todd Keough?" And he replied that it was. And the man was from Huntington Beach, California. And he said there was 5 different names in this testament, and he had some questions for him. He read many of his thoughts and prayers from many years ago. He asked if he had a son named Nicholas, and Todd replied he did, and he was 21. The man was amazed and said, "Wow, I've been praying for him." And Todd asked this man if he had heard of the Gideons, and the man replied he had noticed the logo on the Bible, and he'd asked people, who was this Mr. Gideon? Well, eventually, it led him to filling out an application to become a Gideon, and he was able to pass out New Testaments at a local high school in his area. I'd like to tell you a little bit about who we are. We are born-again Christians. We are business and professional men, and we are members of local churches. We distribute Bibles and do Bible blitzes, and some Gideons do this in dangerous parts of the world. We place Bibles in hotels and hospitals, and we also give out New Testaments at fairs and festivals. And if a church has a function and they need some Bibles passed out, we're there. We've also done some what we call Bible blitzes at University of Maine at Orono, where a bunch of Gideons go up from all over the state, and we go up and pass out Bibles up in Orono. We cover that whole campus. And we also do that in University of Maine Farmington, usually in the springtime. And we go up to Orono in October. We have Gideon cards, which are like this, just like regular greeting cards. And we have them for special occasions and in memory of somebody, or if you've lost somebody, or a celebration of life. And what it is you can buy 5 to 25 Bibles, and it's in memory of whoever that person you happen to be celebrating. And they're $5 a piece for the Bibles. And we can even get you a card rack if you like. We have Gideon app cards now too, which you can download onto your phone or your laptop. And they come in like a couple hundred languages now. So they're getting pretty popular all over the world. We are an extension of the church, and you might wonder, why do we do it? Well, we have a passion, which is a desire to see lost people come to Christ. Isaiah 55:11 assures us our ministry is never in vain. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. I'd like to share with you a few statistics, not to bore you or anything, but we are in 100, this is worldwide statistics. We are in 199 countries. We have Bibles in 107 languages. There's 11,832 camps worldwide. There's 162,801 Gideons worldwide. And there's 94,950 in the auxiliary. Total scriptures, 2,344,233,332. Now our USA numbers are 3,078 camps, 67,750 Gideons, 34,346 auxiliary. And here in northern New England, we have 36 camps, 296 Gideons, and 151 auxiliary. I'd like to share with you another testimony. And this one is from Joe Dubois, and he's from the Hancock County Camp. And this is his story. I was told by a hotel that I normally stay at that it's going to stop carrying the Bibles in the rooms. And he wrote a letter to this hotel that he would no longer stay at this hotel, and this was what he wrote. It was the Gideon Bible that got me through my military career. But it goes on further. I have heard of many people who checked into hotels and were planning on killing themselves, and something drew them to that drawer, and they opened it, and they read from that Bible, and this caused them to change their plans. The same thing with people meeting who are married and don't really know why they were straying, and yet the words in the book help them change their plans and save a family. Many drug dealers who have been known to tear out the pages while they're smoking pot. Read the pages and have they been changed? Wealthy people who come to your place and they have everything they need in life, yet they can't sleep for one reason or another. The Bible helps them sleep. Come unto me, all who labor and I will give you rest. You spend all that money on mattresses, pillows, and good sheets, all to make people get better rest. Yet that is the physical. But you exclude the Bible, which is free to you. That bothers nobody in the drawer. If no one looks, they would never know it is there. It's not like the hotel rooms have never had them before. People know it is there, and it helps. Like I said, you are removing the ability for God to act and save a life, a marriage, or someone who's struggling. I know this is just your opinion, but it is also what I believe. But also look at it from a strictly business view, too. Over time, your clientele will change. When it does, you will notice some higher costs. I'm sure you can understand that it will become obvious. Thank you for at least taking the time to listen to an old man who has been around. I appreciate you and your fine hotel. We sometimes find this nowadays, especially, that they're not always welcome to us passing out Bibles. But we're not discouraged from doing it, and we will always keep going back, even if we've been told no a few times. Doesn't discourage us a bit. I'd like to share with you another testimony. This is a story about Dusty and Tanya Burt. And Dusty Burt remembers a childhood, beatings and neglect, parents shooting up cocaine. He begged God to end his life at 10. He was arrested on many felony charges. After dropping out of school, this led to a life of rebellion and crime, no direction, and he was in and out of prison. And one day, he decided to drive down to a casino in Fort Smith, Arkansas. He was down to his last $33, and then he won $8,000. And this is dangerous money for a junkie, and he put all his winnings in his arm. Well, he woke up, and he did all this while he was in a dumpy motel. And then he woke up with a paramedic hovering over him. And he was looking around the room, and he saw a man, not like you or me, and his eyes were like onyx stone. He heard him speak, not with words, but with his spirit. And then he said, "This is your last chance. You are not your own, and you are bought at a price." And then he was gone. Well, Dusty was taken to prison, and he was put in a cell with two others. And they were reading, and there was only two beds. So Dusty was getting ready to fight for his space. So he took off his shirt to show his gang affiliation. One of the men got up out of the bunk, took off his shirt, and there was a cross the entire length of his back. And he said, "I'm a Christian," he explained. And so is this man, nodding to the other cellmate. Then he pointed at Dusty's gang tattoos, and he said, "That has no dominion here." And on the third day, a group of Gideons came to the prison, and they were going all through the prison giving out scriptures to anyone that would take one. Well, Dusty decided to accept one, and this led him to reading it and knowing the Word of God. And he fell down to his knees, and he asked for forgiveness. It took the world a little while to be convinced of his change of heart. In this prison, a wall separated him from Tanya. She had accepted Christ and got out of prison 2.5 years ago, and she was going to church faithfully where Dusty's grandmother already went. Tanya asked his grandmother if she could write to Dusty in prison for encouragement. And 2 years later, Dusty was released from prison. And Tanya was planning on only being a friend to Dusty. But she invited him to a church and a pastor's banquet at a church where Dusty had stolen money years ago. Obviously, Dusty was nervous. He continued going to church and was on the church leadership council. Tanya invited him to another pastor's banquet where she gave her testimony. And the room was full of Gideons. And Dusty thought, I'll never be a Gideon. Well, Dusty got a mentor, and it was Bob Jones, and he was the director of the prison ministry in Arkansas. And this led Dusty to trading in his prison numbers for a Gideon number. So Dusty and Tanya got married, and the man who gave him his first Bible was a man named Bill Freeman. And they continue today serving the Lord. Dusty owns a construction outfit, and Tanya is studying at Colorado Christian College. And Dusty has a quote, "My Jesus is stunning, and his love is a reason to shout." I'd like to tell you a little bit about my testimony. One of the reasons why I became a Gideon. Well, I got an invite from Steve Mitchell. Him and I are both Masons and Phillips. And he handed me an application and he asked me to come to a meeting and see how I'd like it. So we meet every Monday night, 7 o'clock, Farmington Hospital. And we get a really nice conference room. And I started a few years ago in June, and they were talking about making trips in the area to pass out some Bibles in some hotels and to visit the churches. And then they talked about upcoming fairs, which we've got the Scouting Fair going right now, and we help out the Waterville camp. They have a booth there, so we help them out. And they were planning on the Farmington Fair, which we have a booth in, our camp does. And well, you know, they were talking about all this stuff, and this sounded pretty interesting to me. And I was sitting there listening to them planning all this stuff, and then they were talking about their past experiences, and that was it. My appetite was whetted, and I was hooked. Like I said, we meet every Monday night at 7 p.m. You know, I listened, I learned, and I was inspired, but it's like five men. That's about all there is at the meetings. We worked at the fairs, we worked at the booths, and we learned the art of distributing a Bible. You don't take no as an insult or anything. You just learn to smooth it over and, you know, you just go on to the next one. All it takes is one Bible to change somebody's life. So it's worth 100 no's. You know, we went, like I said, we went to the University of Maine, Orono, and I met Gideons from all over the state. And we went and we hung out by the dorms and stuff and waited, and we had quite of an experience. And it was just, you know, all we knew, all it takes is one Bible, just that one Bible, that anticipation of really changing somebody's life and bringing somebody to salvation. We visited various churches, and we've met a lot of different pastors and got to have some fellowship with the congregations, which is something I really enjoy doing. Just getting a chance to speak and tell them what we're about and let them know that we're there for the pastors and for the congregation, and we will do anything we can to help. And if you ever want us to pass out Bibles, all you got to do is let us know, and we are there. And we go all over Western Maine, and we go to a lot of motels, cabins. We go everywhere, and we have a great time doing it. The fellowship with the Gideon brothers is just amazing. It's inspired me to be a better person, and it's actually got me closer to God. We all have busy lives. I'm a manager at Rennie's in Madison, so retail is a crazy world, and I look forward to going to these meetings every Monday night. It doesn't matter how tired I am. You know, we all have busy lives, but this has really rejuvenated me, and I enjoyed the rest of my week just from meeting. You know, we sit around the table and, you know, we're planning stuff, but we're also, we have prayer concerns. We're praying for people we know, pastors and churches in the area. We also pray for the people in that hospital, and we pray for the pastors that serve that chapel. So it's really invigorating. I've been to a Faith Fund rally and heard a story from a Gideon that went to Ethiopia, and he got his Achilles ruptured because some of those Ethiopians don't like the word of God. And he got stoned, and luckily one lonely farmer out there saved his life, and that was a pretty exciting story. So again, you know, I've been inspired by so many moments and so many things. And it was just something that was missing in my life. And I'm a far better person. I can really enjoy life in a different light. And nothing is better than serving the Lord. And I look forward to many more adventures in the future. You know, to be a Gideon, all you got to do is ask for an application, and we can get you one. And you know, there's many ways you can help us. The wives can be in the auxiliary. You can become a friend of a Gideon. You can support Gideons by praying for us. What's better than prayer? Just praying will help us tremendously. But because of the generosity of so many with donations, we're able to distribute Bibles here at home and all over the world. And we're able to share God's word. And this could change someone's life. I'd like to thank you for this time. And it's been a pleasure to be here and be able to speak in front of you. Thank you.
Thank you, Dean. I've seen it happen. I've seen lives change because of Bibles. That's why I do it. If you want to ever give a great thing to somebody, give them a Bible. I've seen young people, old people change. Their whole lives change because of the Word. And that's why I'm a Gideon, because I've seen it happen. You know, I've known a lot of Gideons that have passed out a lot of Bibles. They've never seen somebody that's changed. They still give out Bibles. I've actually, in my life, the Lord has showed me people that have been the worst off, in the gutter, the worst stories that you've ever heard. I've seen them change because of the Word. So that's why I'm into it. So if you ever want to help somebody, the Word is the one. So our last song is He Lives, and it's on page 164.
Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this service. Let us feel he lives in us this week, Lord. Let the Holy Spirit minister us to us this week, Lord, and let us know about you, Lord. Thank you for this time. Thank you for this church, Lord. We ask you to be with us in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.